You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
One key mission of the new museum has always been to present art that isn't seen in other museums. And their current show, Here and Elsewhere, Contemporary Art from and About the Arab World, falls squarely into that category. The exhibition fills all five floors of the museum and includes work by more than 45 artists from 15 countries, many of whom have never shown in New York before. It's on view at the new museum on the Bowery until September 28th, and I'm delighted to welcome its curator, Massimiliano Gianni, to our show to tell us about it. Hello.
Hello.
Organizing a museum exhibition around art from a particular geographical area seems like an especially difficult task. Aren't the countries in the region all quite different, with different cultural rules and traditions?
Yes, I mean, that's one of the first questions and challenges we posed ourselves when we started working on the exhibition, and it is a curator's dilemma to do or not to do a geographical show. I believe that New York is an incredibly stimulating place, but can be also quite provincial. So my answer is always yes, I want to do geographic shows, if anything, because they allow viewers here in New York to be exposed to art they wouldn't see anywhere else. And so we did start out reminding ourselves that the idea of an exhibition about Arab art needed also to right away say that there isn't such a thing as one monolithic Arab art or one monolithic culture, but still I think it's legitimate to look at various expressions coming from different nations there.
Well, have things changed in the last 100 years or so? Isn't the representation of humans prohibited by the Quran a reason why so much earlier Islamic art was abstract or calligraphic?
Well, I think we need to remind ourselves that when it comes to contemporary art, both in the West and in various countries in the East, things have changed and have evolved. The vast majority of the artists in our show are secular artists. They're not religious, and that could be true about the vast majority of artists in New York today. So I think we also have to approach these various areas of the world, getting rid of some of the stereotypes and the anticipations that we are prone to project on those areas.
Visitors to the museum are greeted by large-scale photographs of a resort hotel wallpapered onto the lobby walls and facade windows. It was made by a group of artists who call themselves GCC. Who are they, and why did you decide to open the show in that way?
GCC is a collective of artists active in the Gulf countries from which they take the names. They are from Kuwait, from the Emirates. And this piece is, first of all, is an immediate reference to the economic boom of many of the countries in the Gulf, particularly the Emirates and Qatar, who have become more and more present also in the world of art because many of the biggest collectors come from these countries.
And the Guggenheim is opening.
The Guggenheim, the Louvre, many museums are opening franchises there. And so we wanted to start with them immediately to also play on representations. The main theme of the show, I would say, beyond the geographical paradigm, is actually the problem of representation. Who has the right to represent whom? And so GCC, in a rather ironic way, plays with the expectations of the West towards the East by showing us one of these incredibly luxurious hotels, but doing so in a way that it becomes a mirage in itself. So it's an image that you're not sure whether or not you should believe, and that is the theme that runs throughout the show.
Where does your title, Here and Elsewhere, come from?
The title Here and Elsewhere comes from a movie by Jean-Luc Godard and Jean-Pierre Goren, who at the time were working together as a collective named the Ziga Vertov Group. And they were approached to make a movie about the Palestinian cause in 1970. They worked on it for more than 6 years. And what started out as a propaganda film about the Palestinian cause ended up becoming a reflection on the function of images in relation to ideology. We thought that this particular film not only was inspiring for many artists in various Arab countries, artists in Lebanon told us about it, artists in Morocco, but more importantly, immediately framed what I think is the preoccupation of the show, and that is, do images tell the truth? Can they tell the truth? And what is the responsibility of artists in the face of historical events and historical moments?
And they also have to, in some cases, deal with ideology. They have to deal with the fact that there are sometimes crackdowns on artists who aren't saying what the local government wants them to say.
Well, I think what emerges from
this
show...
Do they deal with censorship here, or are they...
I think it's... many of the artists in the show, if you look at them from our point of view, they will probably appear to be much more cosmopolitan and engaged in an open culture than we expected. I think we were very proud, for example, that there is no image of a veiled woman in the entire show.
But are there women artists in the show?
There are plenty. Actually, it turned out to be, not that we set out to find mostly women artists, but I think more than 50% of the artists are women. And so many of our assumptions were shaken as we started looking at the work. More than artists measuring themselves up to ideology, I think what we witness in this exhibition is the responsibility of the artist in front of current events and who can tell the truth. And so I think rather than against ideology, they are questioning the responsibility of media.
Is there an element of reportage in much of this work?
Yes. The vast majority of artists are working with photography, with video. That might have to do more with what we were looking for than the just majority of work being done there. But certainly, I think you'll see in different works the artist becoming a reporter and trying to tell various versions of a story that often is flattened and simplified by mainstream media.
What do the works by the women artists say about the lives of women in these countries?
Well, I think it's difficult to summarize so broadly. I think
because,
many of the...
Because Cairo is very different than Beirut, is very different than Amman, is definitely very different than Sana'a.
A desire to speak in the first person, singular. I think that is a common thread throughout the show, and there is a beautiful series of short videos by a Moroccan artist, Bushra Khalili, who has interviewed people who crossed the Mediterranean illegally. And I'm from Italy, and you know, this year I think 2,000 people died in crossing the Mediterranean. And these short films are short diaries that describe these incredible adventures in a very personal and very emotional manner.
That artist was born in Casablanca but lives in Berlin now.
Yeah, many of the artists.
The piece is called the Mapping Journey Project.
Yes, and Bushra, like many of the other artists in these exhibitions, are born in a country and then raised elsewhere, and then they return to their own country to make the work and to present it internationally.
And the videos there show emigres drawing their itineraries on maps of the Middle East and Europe as they describe their convoluted travels in search of finding a place that they can stay.
Yeah, there are stories of people that cross the desert for 2 weeks just by foot and others. What to me was most surprising is you assume migration is moving from point A to B, and what you learn in these diaries is that migration continues for 2, 3, 4 years before you can actually settle down.
My guest is Massimiliano Gianni, who is the curator of a show called Here and Elsewhere, Contemporary Art From and About the Arab World. It's currently at the New Museum on the Bowery, and it's running until September 28th. Were any of the artists that that you wanted to include reluctant to be labeled as Arab artists?
Yes, that was a conversation that happened throughout the preparation of the show. Some artists, not so many, I think three of them, refused to be in the exhibition because they didn't want to be framed as Arab. I think for us, that question was quite indicative of a few assumptions that gravitate around contemporary art. I think we are now used to think of contemporary art as an international Esperanto, an international language. I have issues with such a view because it makes contemporary art sound like a language that you share by shedding any trace of your origins. And I think things are more complicated than that. I believe in an idea of art in which you can be international and still very much involved with your origins and your local provenance.
Well, since so many of these artists are international.
Yes, many of them are, and I think they just don't want to shed completely, forget completely the place where they're coming from.
We invite our listeners to get a taste of what we're talking about. We have a slideshow on our webpage, also a video of a walk through the exhibit. Many of the works include themes of war and violence. It's just coincidental, of course, that the show is opening at a time when there has been so much tension in the area, in Iraq, in Syria, in Israel and Gaza. Were you concerned about the timing?
Well, the timing is unfortunately very precise, and unfortunately many of the conflicts that we are talking about today in the news have been dragging on for many years. So we were certainly not prophetic. We simply registered something that various situations that have been going on for a few years. I think what many of the artists in these exhibitions have in common is a questioning of how can we talk about war through art. And I think from the work of Lamia Jorej, who collects objects that people have held on to during the Lebanese war.
She gave us, she has six different, a series of six different videos that are accompanied by objects. Yeah. Connected to what's in the video.
It's an incredibly touching piece. It's called Objects of War, and she's been working on it since the 90s. She approaches people and asks them to give her objects that had a particular significance during the 90s war and to tell the stories of how they relate to these objects.
And then there's a Syrian artist who has a series of photographs called Execution Squares.
Yeah, these are photos that Sarkisian took before he left the country, actually, and these were squares in which executions, public executions, were carried out. They are very apparently normal images of empty squares at dawn, but once you know that that's where public executions were held, obviously the entire geography and the entire fabric of the city becomes completely transformed.
And then there is an Iraqi artist, Jamal, is it Genquinelli? Quenny? His piece is called Saddam is Here. Ordinary people hold photos of the former dictator in front of their faces.
Yeah.
What is he trying to tell us?
Well, I think he was trying to discuss in the aftermath of the dictatorship, the fall of the dictatorship. He was asking himself and his own fellow citizens, where does actually dictatorship ends? And can we simply move on once the dictator is removed, or certain ideologies or certain positions are actually within ourselves?
One of the biggest surprises for me was a Turkish artist named Van Leo, who has a series of photographic self-portraits where he plays various movie characters from the 1940s, decades before Cindy Sherman did the same thing. I wonder if she even knew that he existed.
Well, I know she now knows, and well, before we showed it in the museum, but she's been aware of his work. I think this is also one of the aspects that makes this exhibition fascinating, and that is to remind ourselves that history is much more stratified and complex than we always assume. You know, we always assume we are the ones that have invented a certain paradigm shift, and it's interesting to look back and look at different geographical areas and to discover that multiple histories and multiple visions of modernity can emerge in different countries.
He is the only artist who isn't still alive that you have in this show.
Pardon me?
He's the only dead artist.
No, there are, I think, a couple of others, but as I often say as a joke, I don't check the passports of the artists. Some are alive. The artworks are alive, and their makers sometimes sadly can be dead.
We don't have a lot of time left, and we've only talked about a fraction of the works in this very ambitious show, which, as I said, fills the entire museum. Is there anything else you feel we absolutely should mention?
Well, speaking of the timing of this exhibition, one of the central pieces that is being discussed is a sculpture by Wafa Urani, a Palestinian artist who depicts the refugee camp of Qalandia in the future. And it's a sculpture in which he has covered the wall that separates Palestine from Israel with mirrors. And he says that in the future people will do that because they will be ashamed of a wall that separates two neighboring countries. And I think in this dystopian panorama, Urani invites us also to look not only of history, but also current events and ourselves from a different point of view.
So much of this work is political, which is often discouraged in other parts of the world.
Yeah.
But there's always the problem of when we are being preached to and when the work just remains a work of art.
Well, for me, it's a matter of intensity, I think, rather than ideology. I believe it was important to show these works here in New York because too often, for the fear of being political, we end up just presenting artworks that are a form of visual entertainment. What I know about these works is not so much that I need to subscribe to their ideological position, but I know for sure that many of the works in this show come from questions of life and death, from questions of urgent human and emotional positions. And I think that is also something we need to value here in New York, to remind ourselves that art is not a pretty picture on the wall, but it's an existential question.
The Egyptian artist Wael Shawki has a video entitled The Cave, Amsterdam, in which a man walks through a well-stocked supermarket reciting passages from the Quran. Is he making a point about the clash between Western consumer culture and Islamic spiritualism?
Well, I think he is
there
one
are supermarkets
of the
few... in Cairo, aren't there?
Pardon me?
There are supermarkets in Cairo.
There are supermarkets in Cairo. I think the fact that he's doing it in Amsterdam is less of a coincidence, because as you remember, in Amsterdam, it's where
Theo van Gogh was killed.
So I think the choice also of the place is quite significant. But it's also about the possibility of taking religion peacefully with you wherever you go. So I think ultimately it's also a very progressive piece and about the possibility of religion existing in our everyday life without creating frictions or tensions.
Weren't you recently appointed artistic director of the new museum?
Yes.
Will you have more freedom to choose what is shown there?
Well, freedom is never a problem at the new museum, as I think this exhibition proves. I think it's more a way of recognizing that we want the museum to have a coherent artistic vision driving its program. And it's been like that also since before. So it's... I think we are just continuing in the path that we've been walking on since a few years.
And what's in the works?
Pardon me?
What's in the works? What's coming up?
What's in the works is a beautiful exhibition of Chris O'Feely's work that will open.
Talk about controversial.
Talk about
good art.
Will
Rudy Giuliani be invited to the opening?
Talk about good art that is not seen in New York, I think. Chris, obviously, as you remember, hasn't had a major museum show, maybe because of all the debacle that welcomed one of his pieces in 1999. I think we are very happy of showing an artist who has been making work for 20 years and to show the breadth and the scope of his work, which goes far beyond that specific painting.
This show runs until September 28th. Will it travel after that?
No, unfortunately, but as many of our shows, of which we are very proud, is a show you can only see here, you can only see at the New Museum, and that, I think, makes it even more special.
Although there is a catalog, so
there is a catalog,
and since so many of these things are photographs, you still have a real sense of what the show was like, even if you lose the scale.
Yeah, and the catalog, I think, it's very rich. It contains essays and roundtables with all the artists, and it was co-edited with Bidoun, which is a magazine that has been looking at the Middle East for many years, and so they become experts of the areas, I would say.
The show is Here and Elsewhere, Contemporary Art from and About the Arab World. It runs at the New Museum, which is on the Bowery off of Prince Street, until September 28th. And my great thanks to its curator, Massimiliano Gianni, for being on our show today.
Thank you.